Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, this was absolutely genius. Absolutely genius here by Butte. Absolutely genius. Although it sounds like the plan has fallen through the cracks here. I had to shoot an email over to the chief executive for Butte Silverboat just to see if there's more info on this deal here, see if there's more reaction to this $20 million grant being axed here. But man, I don't know about you guys, but when I first saw this headline, I was like, wait a minute, what is Butte known for? Butte is known for being tough. Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL who killed Osama bin Laden, he had a great t-shirt I saw that he was wearing in one of his ex posts a while back, and it said, Butte versus everybody. Butte versus everybody. So I see this headline here. Let's see. EPA cancels $20 million grant for Butte Resiliency Hub. What is a resiliency hub? Resiliency is like to teach you how to be tough, right? How to have that mental fitness, how to have that mental toughness, how to be able to bounce back. Butte doesn't need a hub to be tough. Butte is tough. You grow up in Butte, you're tough. I don't know. Why would Butte need a resiliency hub? It's an honest question here. Why would they need $20 million from the taxpayers to start a resiliency hub? But then you read the details here. So I had to go look up, what is this resiliency hub? And I pulled up a few different articles. I pulled up something off of one of these hopey, changey, climatey, alarmist websites where they're always figuring out a way to, you know, profit off the green energy scam or whatever. And for all I can gather here is basically they were claiming, well, if we get this resiliency hub here, it's going to be good for climate change, and it's going to be good for this and for that, and we'll be able to host events here, and we can have, you know, arts events here. Okay, first off, so if the rest of us want to build a big building, which is resource intensive, you know, you think about all the materials and the carbon that is emitted in the production of those materials, and then all the carbon that's emitted in building the building. How can you argue that building a $20 million building is somehow going to help with climate change? Oh, well, we're going to buy a bunch of solar panels, and it's going to be, okay, again, you are consuming carbon dioxide when these solar panels are built or this other stuff. So you're not really doing anything for your so-called climate alarmist concerns. But then I read it further and it's like, okay, so basically, you know, the smart folks in Butte said, Joe Biden's giving out a whole bunch of money to everybody all over the freaking world. If you just claim that your program is a climate change program, let's get a new rec center. Let's get a new rec center, but we're going to call it a climate changey resiliency hub. Bing, $20 million from the on-the-way-out Biden regime. But apparently the EPA has now canceled that $20 million. You know, why didn't the EPA give $20 million to an indoor hockey arena in Billings? I mean, does it get more climate change than that?
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lingering clouds and some shower activity in portions of the area into the first half of the day today. High temperatures are otherwise a rebound to about 50 degrees to the upper 40s around the region. For tonight with partly cloudy skies. Overnight lows from the mid to upper 30s, and then we'll see mainly sunny skies Wednesday with highs in the 70s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
The Navy's Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral James Kilby, spoke recently at a Washington, D.C. defense conference about the Navy's current priorities. He said a key point in time for control of the seas and beyond is not too far away.
We are responding to a call from our adversary, China, who said we want to be ready in 2027. Therefore, The United States Navy, and I would argue our military, must be ready.
Admiral Kilby says for the Navy, the key is not only building more ships, but making sure what we already have is ready to go.
80% combat surge ready aircraft, submarines, and ships.
Another key, having the right number of personnel.
Bringing in the sailors we need to man our ships fully. We have 23,000 gaps at sea now.
Kilby says America and its allies have to create dilemmas and problems for the Chinese to deal with. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Man.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so you have to go back and read the stories of when this program was first pitched to find out what the program was all about here. Again, genius move by our friends in Butte here. Genius move. Hey, we want a rec center, but don't call it a rec center. Don't call it a rec. You tell them it's a rec center. You don't get the funding. You tell them that it's for climate change, you know, underserved, disadvantaged. Can you add the word minority in there? Okay, so I found this on a website here, Water and Environmental Technologies. And it's talking, and here's the headline. This is from January. Butte secures $20 million grant to build community resilience hub, a transformative step for our future. Now, guys, I got to be honest here. I'm a little biased when I see the word resilience. Because, before I got out, they were pushing these resiliency training sessions, and it's like, before I got out of the military, it was like, oh, great, now we got to waste a whole chunk of our Saturday doing some freaking let's all sit around and have some PowerPoint presentation, or even if it was a decent presentation, why are we sitting here when we should be out in the field training right now, right? It's like, you know how you build resilience? You get out there and you do hard things. You go hunting, you go fish. Doesn't even have to be hard things. Just get outdoors. But that was always like a pet peeve of mine. It's like, wow, here we go. As if we don't have enough, you know, PowerPoint presentations to have to sit through on a drill weekend here. But now we got to sit through resiliency training, which makes some people depressed. It's like, you know what the real resiliency training is? It's getting out in the field and doing some good, hard training and fun training as well. And that's what builds the toughness of our military at the same time. So, we can expand mental toughness, we can expand physical fitness, and we can increase our military readiness by doing good field training. And that also helps with resiliency. Oh, no. Guys, what are you doing outside? Go sit inside and listen to a PowerPoint presentation about resiliency training. That's how we're going to combat the problems with a lack of resiliency. Give me a break. Anyway, so let me just admit that bias up front here. Whenever I see the resilience word, I'm always a little like, okay, here we go. But anyway, so I'm reading this story here about what this whole $20 million resiliency hub was all about. Butte's chief executive, J.P. Gallagher, expressed his passion and pride for the project, mentioning that this was something the residents of Butte had wanted ever since he was director of parks and recreation nearly a decade ago. He emphasized that while Butte currently has facilities designed for large bazaars and sporting events, this new center will provide a safe and versatile space for community gatherings, cultural expression, and connection. Butte's always struggled with cultural connection. You know, it's St. Patty's Day. You just wish it could be a I'm joking, of course. It will also serve as a refuge during extreme health events such as wildfire smoke. All right, everybody, leave your homes. Leave. There's a lot of wildfire smoke. I need you to leave your homes. Go outside, brave the wildfire smoke so you can come back inside to our community resilience hub and get out of the wildfire smoke. That's what we need you to do right now. But by the way, can I also say there's a lot of great community resilience hubs in Butte. That's kind of what makes Butte fun, right, is all those community resilience hubs, especially in Uptown. Anyway, but then it goes on further here. Beyond recreation, it will be a safe haven during wildfires, air quality crises, and severe weather events. Danielle Aragani, director of the Environmental Justice, Community Health, and Environmental Review Division at EPA Region 8, informed Butte Silver Bow residents that the $20 million grant is part of the National Community Change Grants Program. This program, with a total of $2 billion in funding, focuses on reducing pollution, enhancing community resilience, and building the capacity to address environmental challenges. With this funding, Butte is taking a significant step toward a more sustainable and resilient future. The planning director for Butte Silver Bow highlighted the extensive effort and dedication that culminated in successfully securing this community grant over the past 5 years. She explained that the journey began with the Climate Adaptation and Resiliency Workshop held at Montana Tech. This is freaking hilarious. Billings, what the heck, Billings? You need to step up your game. You know, we've got the fine folks in the Montana coal industry, you know, Signal Peak Energy, donated $6 million of that beautiful clean coal funding to help build an indoor, you know, ice arena, build a hockey arena. You got other folks that are now stepping up. In fact, I think the groundbreaking ceremony is tomorrow. Why didn't you call this a climate change resiliency hub? You wouldn't have needed the coal money. You wouldn't need it. Anybody else's money. You could have just gone to Joe Biden, called it climate change. I mean, does it get more climate change than controlling the climate indoors so you could have a hockey rink in the summer so you can skate on the ice in the summer? That's got climate change written all over it here. So get a hold of our friends in Butte. Start figuring out how to work this system here. Man, I'll tell you what. We'll be skating in no time. We'll be cooking with peanut oil. I don't know if that's considered sustainable or not, but it sounds good to me. Oh, man. Oh, for Pete's sake. What do you do? Anyway, if you haven't heard the news, the EPA apparently canceled now that $20 million grant for the Butte Resiliency Hub.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There are a lot of good reasons to cut tax rates, and they go far beyond the political benefits to those who advocate for them. All taxes distort behavior to some degree, causing businesses and households to buy less, invest less, hire less, and produce less. Lowering tax rates reduces those distortions, which is good. But cutting tax rates almost always results in less tax revenue, especially for broad-based taxes like income or sales taxes. It's surprising to me to find many who push back on this. Yet the experience of Montana's personal income tax rate changes in the last 2 years shows this quite clearly. For each of the last two fiscal years, the most recent of which ended last June, Montana's personal income tax receipts have been stagnant, actually falling by almost 6% in fiscal year 23. This compares to double-digit percentage growth in the previous 2 years. There are plenty of reasons beyond tax rate changes, but there's little doubt that cutting the rate of the highest tax bracket played an important role in causing this outcome. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. It was President Franklin Delano Roosevelt who established the modern paradigm of judging a president and, to some extent, a Congress on what was accomplished in the first 100 days. Congress has not accomplished a great deal with legislation, but the Senate certainly churned through confirmations. It's been a hectic 4 months for the Republican-controlled Senate. During the president's first 100 days, the Senate confirmed all of President Trump's top nominees, and that includes the controversial ones, like Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. Senate Majority Leader John Thune says the Senate met for 13 of the first 14 weeks of the year. That includes convening for 10 consecutive weeks at one point, including overnights and weekends. It was the longest stretch of Senate work in 15 years. A handful of Democrats voted to confirm many of President Trump's nominees. Since nominations consume most of the Senate's floor traffic, President Trump only signed 5 bills into law. That's low. One avoided a government shutdown. The other was the Laken Riley Act. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
A 19-year-old Montanan breaks down the anti-Trump May Day protest, plus a must-hear message for the Republicans voting with Democrats in the Montana legislature. We've got that story on the Montana Talks website, plus Montana's marijuana sales. Which counties are driving the surge? You can see a breakdown by county and the dollar amounts as well. Plus, a mystery blaze starts the fire season in Montana. All those headlines, MontanaTalks.com.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, as our network's Lane Nordland continues his travels this week across Australia for the World Angus Forum, his coverage is brought to you by Rotomix, designed for feeding performance. And this morning, he shares with us another update on a way this global event is bringing together the next generation of Angus leaders.
Several thousand miles are under our belt as we've made our way from Sydney to Brisbane for the World Angus Forum. And it's not just current Angus producers attending this event. The next generation of Angus enthusiasts are competing in the youth competition. One of those individuals for Team USA is Montana's Claire Stevenson, who is currently getting her graduate degree at the University of Georgia. She shared more on what the youth competition is.
The World Angus Forum Youth Contest consists of multiple different events, everything from livestock judging to fitting, showing. We just got done with a debate where we were in the finals, luckily, and we have a variety of other little modules that we've been a part of, such as bush mechanics, where we did some irrigation. We did some precision farming math. We reversed a trailer, back to the trailer through an obstacle course with a manual, which in a bumper pole, which is a bit difficult for us Americans, but we got it done. Really just a lot of different things. That's just kind of the big ones that we've been a part of, but they've been keeping us busy, that's for sure. Not much sleep.
Youth teams comprise of 4 members each, aged 18 to 25. They're coming anywhere from Australia, of course, close to home for many, Canada, the U.S., Czech Republic, Ireland, and the U.K., and of course, some barbarian teams. I'm not making up that term. The barbarians are international composite teams formed by individuals from countries unable to field full teams. The winner of the youth contest of the World Angus Forum will be announced here later this week at the conclusion of the event. I'll send it back to you in the studio.
All right, thanks a lot, Lane. Now, for more on his travels across Australia for the World Angus Forum, you can visit our Western Ag Network social media channels.
Why do tacos get their own day of the week? Is it because Mondays are so rough? We need a Tuesday filled with beefy tortillas shared with good friends. If so, why don't we have Wellington Wednesdays, Stroganoff Saturdays, and heck, Meatball Mondays? Then, Mondays would just be another reason to enjoy our favorite beef with our favorite people. Together, we bring more. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Funded by beef farmers and ranchers.
At Ag West, we know ag financing like you know office hours are all the hours. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. You can find us anytime, day or night, at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer. Equal housing lender.
Well, House leaders are delaying a planned Agriculture Committee farm bill markup that was tentatively set for this week, as big issues remain for the GOP's massive domestic policy bill. Now, Politico reports that the meeting had been expected on May 7th or 8th, but it's now likely to push into next week. And the holdup? Well, it's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see, where should we go next? I know we got a candidate, apparently he's running for mayor of Bozeman. Brendan O'Connor is going to join us here in just a few minutes, so let's sneak in some other big news in the meantime here. Or if you got something you want to talk about, give us a quick call, 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app. I got a kick out of Nancy in Roundup yesterday. She was like, this weather, what the heck? She's done with it. She's done with the cold weather. But I actually think this weather is perfect. I think this is the perfect weather. I'm talking about the whole week. It's perfect. It was sunny, 70, 80 degrees potentially in parts of Montana over the weekend. And then Monday it rains and it snows in parts of the state. And it's a little cooler. And Tuesday looks like the same thing. In fact, I just saw we've got a couple stories on our Montana Talks website here. They're looking at 5 inches to 10 inches for the Pryor Mountains by noon today. So that's apparently what they're talking about, total snow accumulations in the Pryor Mountains and the Northern Bighorn Mountains. Of course, there was a snow on the Bozeman Pass overnight as well. And so, but hey, this is perfect. We get our moisture during the week while most of us are stuck indoors anyway working. And then when the weekend comes, bring on the sun, bring on the warmer temperatures. I think that works out great if you ask me. Anyway, see, we don't agree on everything. You know, even those of us that support Trump and everything like that, we don't agree on everything. You know, it's those crazy far left-wing activists who are the cultists who told you to just shut up and get the jab. All right, let's see. One of the messages I did get on the Montana Talks app that came in last night, this came from Logan in Billings. Logan says this: I sent this idea in January, so yay Trump. Logan says this: let's offer a free one-way ticket back to the country of origin, since they probably can't afford one. And if they ever come back illegally, then a 10-year sentence, no parole, no early release in federal prison. But the idea that Logan in Billings is talking about the federal government helping these illegal aliens self-deport out of this country officially was unveiled yesterday. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, Tom Homan was talking about it as well. And we've got the audio that we can play for you here this morning. But, essentially, this is something we've been talking about. How do you deal with 10, 15, 20 million plus illegal aliens that Joe Biden and John Tester allowed to invade this country? Well, obviously, right now they're dealing with some of the worst, the criminal element that's committed more crimes aside from just breaking into this country illegally. And they're going out and they're detaining them and then either imprisoning them or getting them out of this country. But what about the millions that remain? Self-deportation is a key. So we'll talk more about that here in 60 seconds. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem. This comes via Rapid Response 47. She was on Fox yesterday. Thanks to our producer, Kaden Bjornstedt, for snagging this audio for us.
These illegal aliens that are in our country have the opportunity to go on the CBP Home app, and we will facilitate them finding their way back to their countries. We will pay for their plane ticket. When they get there, we will verify they are who they said they are and that they are, in fact, back home. And then they will be paid $1,000 as an incentive to go there and to be able to help facilitate their housing or their clothing or their food for the period of time that they're back in their country until they can get themselves settled. And listen, Sean, that's really what this whole situation is about. We spend about $17,000 arresting, detaining, and deporting an illegal alien right now today. If we have the opportunity to purchase a plane ticket and send someone home with a stipend like this, it saves us thousands and thousands of dollars. And it also is a much safer situation for officers and for those in communities. And it gives that illegal an opportunity to come back to the United States of America. Remember, if they wait until we arrest them and deport them, they don't ever get the chance to come back to the United States. They don't ever get a chance at the American dream. So those individuals that are here illegally need to realize this is their opportunity to do things the right way.
All right, there you go. That was Secretary Kristi Noem on with Sean Hannity last night. Tom Holman also weighing in. Borders are Tom Holman.
Explain to us your hopes for this program.
Well, look, and if you look at what the Biden administration did, he gave a free airline ticket to the city of their choice. When they got arrested by the Border Patrol, right, they picked what city they want to go to. Free hotel room at $500 a night, three meals a day, free medical care, and work authorization. So we're in the export program. So we're turning the CBP home app, reversing it, and sending people home. But the president's right on the cost savings. I mean, rather than, you know, especially in sanctuary cities where it used to be one agent can arrest one bad guy in a county jail, now we got to send the whole team for officer safety reasons to look for these people out in the public. But I think this is ideal for, like, the 1.4 million illegal aliens who've been ordered deported but became fugitives. And it'll open up other opportunities. It's going to be an extreme cost savings, first of all.
Yeah, I think it's going to be about 30% of the cost is what they're saying this would do. Hey, speaking of cost savings, hey, let me tell you right now, we've got the Memorial Day sale going on now until May 31st for YHIC, your home improvement company. They've got an unbeatable deal, 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor with a minimum of four windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Plus, easy financing, zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 12 months. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. The Memorial Day sale runs now until May 31st, so don't miss out. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor, minimum of four windows. 406-948-2836. Again, that's 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. Yeah, Memorial Day sale now until May 31st.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I forget who I was talking to yesterday. Somebody was up here in our studios, and I was like, you know, we've got, we had a guest come here, and I was like, hey, if you want a cup of coffee, we got coffee ready to go. And, you know, there's mugs up there, or I like the paper cup myself. So even though I have a coffee mug here, I always like my coffee in this paper cup. I don't know why. It just tastes better that way. Are any of you guys quirky like that, where it's like, yeah, just the coffee tastes better in a paper cup than it does, you know, in a coffee mug for some reason? I don't know why. That's how I made it. But anyway, speaking of coffee cups, Governor Greg Gianforte held up a styrofoam coffee cup yesterday as he vetoed a bill. One of the first of what we hope are several vetoes coming out of Governor Greg Gianforte, given some of what has come out of the legislative session. But we had a handful of Republicans voting with Democrats. Great video that the governor put together as he vetoed that bill. I'll probably save that one for coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. But let's jump right into it. You know, it's crazy. I know there's some municipal elections taking place across Montana. I didn't even realize how close the race for mayor of Bozeman was once again. Seemed like we just had that election, but got a great note a while back from Brendan O'Connor. Says he is running for mayor of Bozeman. Brendan O'Connor now joining us here on Montana Talks. Brendan, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Aaron. Thanks for having me on.
Well, tell us why you decided to run for mayor of Bozeman.
So I decided to run for mayor of Bozeman because I think it's time that the top levels of our city's government is made up of people who grew up here, people who have had to face the challenge of just living in Bozeman head on. I think too often what we see here is the top levels of our government are made up of people who come from somewhere else, people who already had a comfortable and established life in another state. Then they moved here, you know, bought a second home, and then decided for some reason that they were the best fit to direct our city's future. And so I think it's time that we change that.
Yeah, or even like you've had like, you know, somebody that might come here for college and, you know, maybe there's some far left activist on the MSU campus and then, oh, I'm going to run for mayor or something like that. And it's like, OK, you know, Bozeman has a lot of challenges right now, especially crime. What do you think are some of the most, you know, I know you mentioned affordable housing. What are some of the issues that you think need to be tackled?
Well, my top couple issues are, for one, affordable housing, of course. I know I probably sound like a broken record because that's what everyone's top priority is, supposedly. But second, I think I kind of have a unique opinion here. I personally think that Bozeman lacks like family-friendly entertainment, amenities for all ages. Now, we have a overabundance of bars and overpriced breweries and godforsaken boutiques. But there's not any spaces really where people of all ages can get together and just have good, clean fun. You know, your options in this town are gambling, or you can go drink your head off at the bar, or waste a ton of money eating out. And that's my second priority. And I think that addressing that issue will improve the livability of the city.
How do you tackle that issue? Do you provide incentives? What do you do to encourage more family-friendly entertainment?
So when it comes to all the issues I'm focused on, I'm a firm believer in creating incentive structures rather than direct government intervention. And whether that looks like limited use of public-private partnerships, or one thing I've been thinking about seriously is reforming the current tax increment financing system. Currently, that system, they use what's called a but-for test, where developers have to prove financial unfeasibility of their project. I think that should be tied directly to an affordability benchmark, or for these entertainment amenities I'm imagining. I would hope to come up with some just qualifying prerequisites for that.
So you mentioned growing up in Bozeman. Tell us a little bit more about your background. I was trying to look for a website or something for you earlier this morning.
Sure thing. So I was born here in Bozeman. Both of my parents worked very humble jobs. They worked seasonally for the National Park Service in Yellowstone. My mom drove school bus in Belgrade for a number of years. But growing up, I didn't have anything handed to me, you know. I grew up in a 500-square-foot apartment with my brother, and I went to Chief Joseph Middle School, graduated from Bozeman High School. During my school years, I had, you know, my ups and downs, and to be honest, it was more downs than ups. But those experiences helped shape me into the better man that I am now. Once I got out of high school, I was smacked in the face by the reality of living in Bozeman and its unaffordability. So I had to get really creative to make ends meet. I made multiple attempts at different businesses. Like for a while, I sold security cameras on a website online where I did probably $15,000 in sales in a couple months, but I basically broke even at the end of it. And most recently, I started a small independent cleaning business while also working full-time at MSU as an overnight custodian. So, you know, my humble background, I didn't have anything given to me. I've had to get creative and work really hard just to live in this city.
Your story kind of reminds me of the movie Back to the Future, you know, where the young guy talks about, he's in the cafe, he talks about cleaning up the city, and the guy throws him a broom. Here you go. You want to clean up the city? Get started by sweeping the floor. And so you know, working janitorial shifts at MSU and then talking about cleaning up Bozeman. What do you think needs to be done for the city of Bozeman, big picture? One of the common threads I see, you know, whether it's Billings, Bozeman, Missoula, some of these others, is that, you know, big government mindset at the local government level pushes development outside the city limits, which makes it harder, you know, harder all around. And so what ends up happening is you see the growth out in the counties, and then you don't see the growth as much in the cities because it's too hard to build there. And then in Bozeman, you know, they've prioritized woke left-wing stuff like rainbow-colored crosswalks and nonsense like that. Well, they've got illegal aliens invading the community and causing all this crime.
Right. And I'm totally in favor of law enforcement working hard to get anyone here illegally out. And that kind of ties into something else of the homeless problem here in Bozeman, or as it's sometimes called, urban camping, which is just ridiculous. I think the city should, for one, remove the permits that they issue to be homeless. I mean, that's crazy. The city issues permits for people to be homeless and park their campers on the public streets. But I was moving away from crime. As far as development in Bozeman, it's kind of a delicate balancing act, right? It's my opinion that we should be building up, not out. But there's groups of people who don't want us building out because it disrupts the, you know, the beautiful landscape. They don't want us building up because it obstructs their views of the mountains. Well, I feel like something's got to give somewhere. And I think the most logical approach is we need to ease height restrictions and allow for higher density housing, because really that's the only way we're going to see sustainable long-term growth that's affordable.
That's interesting. I actually just saw a post on X, a tweet from Ellie Boldman, a Democrat state senator out of Missoula, and she actually shared, I think it was an NBC Montana story, talking about how bad rental prices continue to be in Bozeman. And I printed up the story. Let me see if I can find it. But yeah, she makes that same point. Like, oh, but you know, like, hey, but you can't build taller buildings, right? And so rental prices are crazy. And then, you know, we keep losing habitat and the spaces outside the city limits that get developed, when it's like you could be developing more inside the city limits.
Right. And the people who oppose both ideas, I guess I ask, what's left? Are we going to develop down? Are we going to build an underground city system? No, of course not. That would be absurdly expensive. So I mean, people have got to give somewhere, and the easiest, most obvious solution is to just build up.
Well, very interesting. Well, Brendan O'Connor, great to catch up with you here this morning. Thanks for coming on the show to talk about your run for mayor. Do you have a website or a Facebook page or anything up and running yet? Folks want to learn more.
Yeah, I've got a Facebook page. You should be able to find me by just typing in my name, Brendan O'Connor. And on my Facebook page, there is a link to my website. The link's a little long and confusing. It's not something I can say over the air and people will remember it. But
so look him up on Facebook. All right. Well, appreciate having you on the show. 20 seconds left before I get to the hard break. What else do you want to tell folks across Bozeman and across Montana?
Well, I'd like to just say that on May 24th at 3 p.m., I'm hosting an event at the Best Western off of North 7th in their event room, a kind of a meet the candidate event where I'll speak and then give an opportunity for people to ask me some questions.
Very cool. Well, give us a heads up again as that event gets closer, and we'll get that on our website so folks have a reminder. Appreciate your time.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
An illegal alien who allegedly tried to rape a four-year-old girl in Virginia was cleared for release by a prosecutor in a Democratic-run Fairfax County. ISIS swooped in to take custody of this illegal, accused of trying to kidnap and rape a four-year-old after Fairfax County prosecutors dropped the case against this individual, a Honduran immigrant being held by ICE at Caroline Detention Center, Caroline County. According to court documents, a man broke into the home of where this four-year-old and her mother were asleep in separate beds in a room. The mother woke to see the window blinds rustling and heard the girl yelling, and from the living room, the girl said a big man grabbed her from her bed and tried to carry her out, but apparently abandoned the plans when she started screaming.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Now, don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless. That comes with a lot of fine print, plus, 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 plus. Oh, in other words, you pay more, more, more. At the end of the day, you paid for that, quote, free phone three times over. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a much better offer. A free phone with a qualifying plan for just $35 a month, and you get a brand new Samsung Galaxy A26. Just make the switch to Pure Talk for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot and roaming, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, #250, keyword save now. Get your free Samsung Galaxy with a qualifying plan when you switch to Pure Talk. Wireless by Americans for Americans.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lingering clouds and some shower activity in portions of the area into the first half of the day today. High temperatures otherwise rebound to about 50 degrees to the upper 40s around the region. For tonight with partly cloudy skies. Overnight lows from the mid to upper 30s. And then we'll see mainly sunny skies Wednesday with highs in the 70s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
A 19-year-old Montanan breaks down the anti-Trump May Day protest, plus a must-hear message for the Republicans voting with Democrats in the Montana legislature. We've got that story on the Montana Talks website, plus Montana's marijuana sales. Which counties are driving the surge? You can see a breakdown by county and the dollar amounts as well. Plus, a mystery blaze starts the fire season in Montana. All those headlines, MontanaTalks.com.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Loud noises! You guys remember the movie Anchorman with Will Ferrell? And then who's the guy that played Michael in The Office? Why don't I remember the actor's name? He will forever be Michael! Michael! Michael was from The Office, was also on the movie Anchorman. Caden, please tell me you've seen the movie Anchorman. I'm not that old. That movie is not that old. And anyway, it's a classic, so you need to watch it. But there was a clip there where he goes, loud noises. The Washington Post, did you guys see this? The Federalist.com has this headline, Washington Post wins Pulitzer after downplaying Trump assassination attempt as loud noises, just loud noises. Oh, there were loud noises at a Trump rally. No, that was gunfire. And, they tried to kill Donald J. Trump. And he got back on his feet to fight for America. But, yeah, Brianna Lyman has that story. I saw one of our liberal friends on X on the Montana Politics hashtag was, oh, look at all these news outlets that won Pulitzer Prizes. Oh, yeah, because that really has any credibility. And here you go. The Washington Post wins a Pulitzer after downplaying the Trump assassination attempt as loud noises. Okay, good. Steve Carell, that's right. Thank you, Caden. And yes, Caden has watched the movie Anchorman. Okay, good. All right, good. All right, because I feel old enough as it is. Don't need to have that one hanging over my head here on a Tuesday morning. All right, so this was the story that I mentioned. Yeah, it was great catching up with Brendan O'Connor there just a few minutes ago. This was the story. NBC Montana shared this a couple of days ago. New data from the Gallatin Association of Realtors' latest housing report shows median rent in Bozeman reached record highs again in 2024. So record highs once again in 2024 when it comes to the median rent in Bozeman. That's according to new data from the Gallatin Association of Realtors. By the way, I've heard that word pronounced like 85 different ways. Isn't it kind of funny? It's just one of those words. Some people say realtor, some people say realtor, some people say realtor. Now, who cares? Can we just address the fact that we need housing prices to get a little bit more in line here? But Ellie Boltman, Democrat State Senator out of Missoula, she said this when it comes to the record-setting rent prices in Bozeman. She says, well, at least they have ample parking and really short buildings. And that ties in with what Brendan O'Connor was talking about. You know, he was saying, look, hey, maybe instead of building out, we need to make it easier to build up in the city proper. And, you know, obviously, hey, there's drawbacks no matter which way you go, but that's something he thinks needs to be looked at here. So I just shared that on X, x.com/Aaron Flint. And what Ellie Boldman is referencing, I think in Missoula, they're struggling with that same concept right now. In some of the housing reforms that came out of the legislature, there was some of those very same types of debates, which is like, okay, hey, you don't need to force all of these parking requirements on some of these apartments or condos or affordable housing structures and things like that. So anyway, there you go. That's interesting follow-up. But yeah, I was looking at the numbers here. This was an NBC Montana report. By the way, very good reporting by NBC Montana. I mean, I don't like the fact that they still have to follow the AP style book and call illegal aliens undocumented immigrants, but at least they're covering these illegal alien crime stories. They've been covering several of these, and they also had this report on the rental market affordability. So NBC Montana's got some enterprising reporters there. Let's see. Here we go. What are some of the numbers? In 2023, 11,000 renters in Bozeman were spending more than 30% of their something, more than 50% of their income on rent. There we go. All right. My printout cut off part of the story here. But yeah, it looks like they were spending more than 50% of their income on rent. I'll see if I can get a better print out of this so I can see the full quote here.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There are a lot of good reasons to cut tax rates, and they go far beyond the political benefits to those who advocate for them. All taxes distort behavior to some degree, causing businesses and households to buy less, invest less, hire less, and produce less. Lowering tax rates reduces those distortions, which is good. But cutting tax rates almost always results in less tax revenue, especially for broad-based taxes like income or sales taxes. It's surprising to me to find many who push back on this. Yet the experience of Montana's personal income tax rate changes in the last 2 years shows this quite clearly. For each of the last two fiscal years, the most recent of which ended last June, Montana's personal income tax receipts have been stagnant, actually falling by almost 6% in fiscal year 23. This compares to the double-digit percentage growth in the previous 2 years. There are plenty of reasons beyond tax rate changes, but there's little doubt that cutting the rate of the highest tax bracket played an important role in causing this outcome. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.